Is it okay if I start or you?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So I'm thankful to be here tonight because I've been friends with Ben for a lot of years. We did youth ministry together. I was in Dallas, Oregon, while he was in Falls City and Independence and stuff. Yeah. In fact, some of the old guys were like junior hires in our youth group out Salt Creek Baptist. I don't know if you ever heard of that church out there. But that's where I was for a while. And it's good to be here. So, you know, when we praise God, basically we're just telling him, hey, we're thankful for who you are, thankful for what's in our life. So, any of you have something you're thankful for, raise your hand. I'll call on you and love to hear what you're thankful for, like something that's like legitimate. Yeah, right here.
Jesus,
right on. Thankful for Jesus. Yes, right here. Yes, you.
I'm thankful that my mom is still with us right now.
Okay, why is that?
She had a stroke earlier in July last year.
Wow, praise God, man. Praise God. Yeah, right here.
Second chances.
Cool. Awesome. One more over here.
Glad I made it here in one piece.
Awesome. We made it here in one piece. If you didn't get to share yours, just tell yours your neighbor real quick why you're thankful tonight. And I bet some of us have some things we're struggling with, things that are hard in life. Raise your hand if you got something you're struggling with in your life. You know, I won't make you say it, but yeah. Okay. Yeah, we care about that, and I hope that whatever you're struggling with, you get to talk to somebody this weekend, because there's people here who love you, and more importantly, God loves you, and even in those hard things in our lives, we can experience the love and the grace of God. So that's really cool. And so we come together, and we do like a worship time. That's what we're doing. We're coming before the face of God. And is this going to work? Go backwards. Okay. So, my name is Russ. You'll learn a little bit more about me. I'll be speaking to you this six times, half hour each. And so that adds up to?
3 hours.
3 hours. Very good. 3 hours of your life, man. Oh, man. So I better say something worthwhile. Well, it's going to be a little interactive, too. It won't be just me talking, but you guys will talk to one another. And God will be talking. We're going to focus on his word. And that's going to be awesome. We're going to learn a lot of stuff. But first, I want to tell you a story. It all started with a little click on my window. And I just rolled over because I didn't think it was anything, but I was getting stirred until it happened again, another click. But this one came a little harder, a little louder. And then another one, the space between the first two clicks was longer than the third click. And then another, and another, and another. And then the voice that said, Russ, wake up. I can't sleep. I want to go surfing. My friend Dave, at 4 a.m., was throwing rocks at my second story window, waking me up because he couldn't sleep all night. And he gave me the detail. I said, go down to the front door. Let's talk. He took a bath. That didn't do it. He, prayed, whatever. He couldn't go back to sleep. He was so excited about surfing. And he wondered if I would go surfing with him. And believe it or not, I had nothing to do that day. So not wanting to, like, let him down, because you know how it is. You want your friends to think you're cool, and they invite you to do something. I said, yes, I'll go. He says he wants to go surfing in Mexico. Well, I was in Southern California. That was about 2 hours away. And so that made a little more higher bar, but I said, yes, okay, I'll go. And so we took off that day, and my friend Dave and I went on an adventure in Mexico, and I brought a picture of one of the places that we surfed. Outside of Rosarito in Baja, California. And we had this amazing day surfing. 2 hours to the border, crossed the border. Didn't have to have a passport back then. Didn't have to have a COVID test. You just went across the border. And then about an hour down south of the border to these amazing waves. Just keep them there.
Yeah, just keep them. Isn't that beautiful? That's not us, but that's the wave.
And K-38, beautiful place. You know, Dave invited me into all kinds of adventures in my life. And he knew that I had a limit, but his limit was above mine, and he loved pushing me past my limit to closer to his limit. You know, I might have had fears. I might have had some pride. Fears and pride, they tend to limit us from experiencing the great things out of life, right? But he called me out. And that's what I am so thankful for, is that I have had people like Dave in my life call me out into adventure, invite me into adventure. And think about the amount of adventures I've had in my life. Probably one of the biggest ones is being a Southern California kid. Someone invited me to meet a girl from Oregon. And and I said, that's a long ways away. And she came down and we met and we got married and we had the biggest... No, it was like 6 months, and we didn't do it overnight. And we made a family together. I'll show you a picture of my family. And we went big. We had... difficulties. They look a lot better than that. I'll fix that and bring it back tomorrow so you see. But I have 5 kids. 2 of them are married. And on Sunday, my first grandchild is due. But, yes. Okay. I know you want to say, you're not old enough to be a grandpa. Right? But maybe you don't want to say that. But so anyway, awesome adventure in my life. And because just took that next step that God put in front of me. And so pretty exciting. And so I thank Ben for asking me for the adventure of being here in front of you guys and get to talk to you for the week and get to know you for the weekend. So I want to do the same thing for you. And it's not just me. I believe that it's God through me. I want to invite you into an amazing adventure. The adventure of following Jesus. You know what we call people who follow Jesus?
Jesus followers.
Jesus followers. Or disciples. But Jesus doesn't just call us to follow after him. He asks us to be involved with him and getting other people to follow him. Disciples who make disciples. God is inviting you. Jesus is inviting everybody in here to follow him. To be his disciple. And I am going to be like my friend Dave, throwing a little pebble, not just me, your counselor, maybe some of your friends who invite you here, the little pebble at the window and say, hey, come on, it's awesome. Let's follow Jesus. Let's follow Jesus. Some of you are going to think it's really weird, and it might be years and years before you even take this invitation seriously, but the invitation's coming to you. And it comes not from me, it comes directly from the Bible, from God's Word. So I want you to take your Bible. Raise your hand if you don't have a Bible. Not, I don't want to embarrass you, but I just want to make sure. So does everybody have a Bible? Okay. We need a couple of Bibles over here. Is there maybe a counselor or something? Is there any extra Bibles? Raise your hand if you need a Bible or look back there and make sure you get it. Okay. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn to Luke 5, and we're going to go through this story of Jesus calling his disciples. Luke 5, verse 1 through 11. Like I said, I'm not just going to be lecturing you. I want you guys to be engaged, and you're going to hear something. Something's going to happen. Maybe not for every single person, but for most of you. You guys need a Bible? Okay, a couple of Bibles needed. If you don't, okay, we need 3 more. You need a Bible?
Yes.
Okay, need a Bible up here. Is there any more Bibles?
She's running to get some.
Oh, she's running to get some. Okay, just hang in there. Just look at your friend's Bible for now. But as I talk, as I share, you might be hearing God speaking to your heart. And don't get freaked out. That's supposed to happen. That's how this thing works. That's why people do crazy things like go up in the middle of the woods and bring their Bibles and study, because it's really cool when God shows up. Amen? Anybody? Anybody?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. That's a Christian thing. Christian people say, amen, brother. Yeah. It's time to eat. Amen. Not yet, but. Okay, verse 1 through 11. I would like to read it. I'll read it out loud, but I'd like one volunteer to read it after I read it so we get to hear the story twice. Okay, we got this guy over here. You're going to read it? But listen to me read it first. And let's really pay attention to this story. Let's really let it sink in, okay? So on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the nets so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Okay, my friend, would you stand up where you're at and read that out? What version of the Bible are you reading from?
ESV.
ESV, that's exactly what I read, so okay.
On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone and were washing the nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and talked to people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking to them, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and the nets were breaking. They signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came, they filled both the boats so that they would begin to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him.
Very good. Give him a hand. Good job reading that. Okay, now, I didn't warn you, but is there someone who thinks, without looking at this story, they could just tell it from memory right now? Just doesn't have to be perfect, just like, you want to give it a shot? Okay, raise your hand if you don't. I don't want to pick on anybody. I have a piece of candy for the person who does it. Okay, you'll do it? Okay, stand up. What's our friend's name here?
Bethany.
Becky?
Woo! Bethany.
Okay, Bethany.
Yeah, Bethany.
Just, yeah, tell us the story.
So basically, Jesus was teaching the people, and then he got into Simon's boat, and he told them to go out to the water, and they did. And then he taught the people for a while, and then he told Peter to go out further to put the nets back in. And Peter told him that they hadn't caught any fish, but that they would. And so then they did, and they caught so many fish, and their nets were breaking, and they couldn't pull them up. And so they signaled James and John to come help them, and they finally we're getting them, and Peter fell down at Jesus' feet, and because he wasn't worthy and he was sinful, and Jesus told him that they would be fishers of men, and then they left everything and they went and they followed Jesus.
Very good. Very good.
Can I tell the truth here?
You like Reese's?
Yeah,
Reese's.
I do like
Reese's. Okay, there you go. Okay.
Reese's.
Anything that she missed in the story? You guys picked up anything? Yes.
They were cleaning their nets.
Oh, they were cleaning their nets at the beginning. Okay, yes. Their boats began to sink. They had so many fish. You imagine that? Every one of those fish was worth money. Can you imagine having so many fish that the boats are sinking? That's like drowning in money. That's awesome. Yes. Okay, Jesus taught when he got after the boat. Okay. Was he teaching earlier?
The crowds were crowding around him, and then he got into the boat and started teaching.
Yeah. It sounds like he was teaching at the beginning, and then he got into the boat and taught more. But yeah, good job picking that up. Okay. What do you guys, just a couple little things. What did you guys like about the story? Anything stand out to you? You're like, hey, I like this. Yeah.
When Simon Peter told Jesus to depart from him that he was a sinner, like he was so astonished that he was wrong, and he like totally surrendered to the power of Jesus and what he just had done for his eyes.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What a response, huh? That, it seems kind of weird, but the power was so, yeah, awesome. Yes, in the back there. That's cool. You do?
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Awesome. Do it. You'll be glad you did. That's awesome. Yes?
I think it's also a good example of what happens when we trust Jesus.
What happened when we trust Jesus?
Good things.
Good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the miracle happened because they trust him and they went out. Okay, good. Good point. Good point. Right on. Awesome. Good stuff. One more thing. Yeah.
Like you said, all those fish were worth money. They had caught more fish probably than they ever caught before. And they just left them there. They
Yeah.
That was a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Any similarities between that story and my story? Just since the picture's up there.
Well,
out on the water, right? God calls us out on the water. So let me just kind of, here's some things that stuck out to me about the story. Following Jesus starts just by listening to his words. Now, other gospels, and we're not going to look at them tonight, but other gospels just said, Jesus went to the shore, he said, come follow me, and they followed him. Just kind of quick overview of the story. This tells us more detail. The disciples, or that they weren't disciples at the time, these fishermen, which were kind of dirty, lowlifes in the society, he went to them. That's awesome. They were just cleaning their nets. They were just listening. So some of you this weekend, maybe not big into the religion thing, big into the Jesus thing, but this is going to be an awesome weekend for you to just listen. Listen in, kind of like the fishermen are just listening to what Jesus said. But then Jesus asked them to take a little step, a small step of openness. And then why do you think Jesus got on the boat to speak? Yeah.
There were some people in the crowds that
invited. So yeah. Yeah, like trying to like separate himself from the crowd, and then actually the sound would reflect off the water better. So it was a good thing. So if they're manning the boats and Jesus is in the boat teaching, what are they doing then? The fishermen?
Listening
a little more, right? So you listen, take a little step, listen more, and then comes a little bigger step, right? Someone picked that up. They then were asked to go do something that didn't make much sense to them. But they did it. And when they did it, God's power broke out and they saw the fish. And then the result of that was that they were humbled. Because what Peter saw about Jesus, that this wasn't just some teacher. This was like a guy who was like in charge of the fish. He can like bring the fish to the boat. And he was a fisherman, he was a pro, so he knew that this doesn't happen all the time. This was an amazing thing that happened. And so he was humbled and he confessed. And I think that's the truth. Whenever we see something really amazing, it kind of puts us in our place. And as he confessed his sin to Jesus, Jesus then reassured him and said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. That's kind of interesting. How does that relate? Why do you think he said that? You'll be catching men. Yeah.
So what Peter understood is his profession was to catch fish. So use the sense to use analogies that relate to the people he's talking to. So it's, he has this sort of catching things as what he's supposed to do. So he's supposed to catch people now, he's supposed to bring them into the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, very awesome. So he's a fisherman, he catches fish, now he'll be catching men. What's interesting is that Jesus kind of implies that he caught Peter, right? He caught Peter. He caught Peter. He invited him in to follow after him. And check this out. This all happened in 1 week, 1 day. In 1 day it happened. Now it didn't happen. He didn't just come up about it like as a stranger and say, hey, come follow me. There was this process, but it did just happen in 1 day. And so I want to say how important this weekend is. This weekend is not too short for your life to be completely redirected. This might be a weekend that changes the course of your life. Because in the midst of reading Jesus' words, you're hearing him speak to you, come follow me. And it doesn't make any sense to you. You've heard about people following Jesus, and you don't even know what that means. But you're kind of curious about what it might mean. I'm excited about what this weekend is going to happen, or what's going to happen this weekend. And I know there's a lot of people praying for you guys, and we're not setting a trap to catch anybody. But the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking, and I pray that out of all these 70-some people, 73 of you, if there's just one of you that says, yes, I want to follow Jesus and I want to make disciples, I want to catch men, that this part of the world could be changed by that. So I'm excited if only just one of you says, yes, I want to follow Jesus, I want to make disciples. So that's why this is worth it for me. It's worth it for everyone who's putting this thing on. So, I want you to see that this weekend is not going to be just learning a bunch of stuff that maybe you put into action at the end of the week or when you go back home, but we're going to be learning things about what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to make other followers of Jesus. How do we make disciples? That's what we're focusing on. Now, some of you say, hey, wait, I didn't say I want to make disciples. So I know, but we're gonna tell you about how it is so that when you say you want to make disciples down the line, you will have been prepared. You're going to kind of get some of the first steps. So we're going to be going through what the New Testament, what Jesus told his disciples to do. Because that's kind of weird, right? Like if I just said, hey, go out there and catch a man.
I'll make a trap.
I bet your mind would be all in weird places. I mean, you'd be thinking about dating apps, you know? You'd be like thinking about,
traps.
Apps, traps. So, this is what I want to do. I want tonight you guys to make a decision that you are going to learn. Ben said this earlier. He said, I want you to learn one thing a day. Is that what he said?
Yep.
Learn one thing a day.
Learn something new every day.
Learn something new every day, but I also want you to do something every day. Learn one thing and do one thing. And so my challenge to you, and I'm going to put an opportunity for you to actually hear something specific, but is for you to do something different as a response to saying, yes, I want to follow Jesus. And I think this first step is to do something that you wouldn't normally do. Do something tonight, tomorrow, that you wouldn't normally do because you're saying, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Okay, so we're going to try something for the next 5 minutes or 10 minutes where we're going to break up into little groups and we're going to read another story about Jesus calling Peter to walk on the water. This is really cool. And I'm going to give these papers to the counselors. So raise your hand if you're a counselor. Okay. Ooh, a lot of you. Would you help me and pass these out to all the counselors?
Would you help me see Jacob?
Yeah. Put your hands up, counselor. And so you know your counselor. So once all the counselors get the paper, you're going to kind of just make a little huddle around them in this room. And you're going to read the passage, Matthew 14, 22-23. Okay, not yet. And then you're just going to talk about it. We're gonna give you 8 minutes, and then we're gonna pull you back together. You're gonna read it, you're gonna talk about it, and this is what I want you to come away with. There's a couple of questions on there you can talk about, but I want you to, this is the question. What's one thing God is asking, I have a typo in there. What is one thing God is, I said you God, but don't. What is one thing God is asking you to do this weekend from this story in the talk tonight? What's one thing God's asking you to do that's out of your comfort zone, out of your boat, that'll make sense once you read the story? Okay, go find your counselor and do that in this room. And when I start yelling, everybody stop and sit down, okay? Okay, 2 minutes.
So the story is about what? What did you get from the story?
I don't know.
Okay, 30 seconds. 30 seconds left. Thanks for helping, man. Appreciate that, dude. Okay, come on back to your seat. Wow. You want to help me pass these out, Tori? Okay. As you guys find your seat, my friends up here are going to be passing you a 3x5 card that I'd like you to keep throughout this weekend, okay? I want you to write on there the things that God is calling you to do. You think God is calling you to do through His Word, and you respond by obeying. And any of these things are kind of like specific and measurable. Things that you can do, and we can say, hey, did you do what God calls you to do? So, does anyone have something that is like clear and serious that God called you to do? You want to share it with the whole group? Yeah? Cool, so you're going to go. Awesome, man. Awesome. Go on a mission trip. Right on. Cool. Anybody else? God calling you to do something like just something here at camp. Anybody hear something here at camp? Yeah. Oh, cool.
Because really, when you speak the power out loud, it does something. Instead of just keeping prayer inside and praying to someone, oh, I've been praying for you. Or said, hey, I
want to
pray with you.
That's awesome. Did you guys hear that? So, Liliana, she's going to be praying for people this weekend. So you want to get, can people come to you and get prayed for? That's awesome. So if you got something going on, Liliana, want to... That's awesome. That'd be great. I think that'd be set a cool tone here. Yes?
To continue to step out of my comfort zone, because I'm an open person, but I'm not open about certain things. So, like, if I want to ask someone a question, I won't, because I'm scared of the answer.
Uh-huh.
So, just being more able to step out.
Cool. Cool. Awesome. Awesome. Jump in there. Follow Jesus. When He calls you to do something, do it. That's what a follower is. It always kind of didn't make much sense to me because it just didn't make much sense. The guy was 2,000, he lived 2,000 years ago. How do I follow him here in the 21st century in North America? Like, how do you follow him? But we're going to learn what that is. It's like, it's by reading His Word, and as He convicts you about something specific to do, you go do it, and then you come back to His Word and He gives you another thing. Jesus has really changed my life. I told you how fear and pride separates us from adventure, and it had separated me from a lot of adventures. I was a real shy kid as a little kid, and God, you know, has broken through those barriers. That's kind of like the candy-coated side of it, but the fear and pride in my heart really led me to a dark place when I was in middle school. I went to a middle school that had a lot of racial tensions. It was 40% because in Southern California, 40% was from Mexico, and there was a lot of tension between the races there. We had fighting in between. We had bullying in between the races. There was this one time I was in eighth grade. One of the big Mexican guys singled me out, pushing me. It's a terrifying time in my life. That fear, plus the pride in my own race, my own who I am, led me to have hatred for someone just because of their race. Until the Lord started working on my life between my ninth grade year and my 10th grade year, as I started to play football with other athletes who were Mexican guys. And I started realizing I had something in common with these guys. And then the Lord softened my heart to the plight. We went to Mexico. This is before I went surfing there. We went on some mission trip down there, and we saw some of the poverty down there. And God started chipping at my heart about having compassion for these people and understanding where they're coming from. And, you know, the coolest thing is that as I started to grow as a follower, someone who wanted to catch men, you know, being a fisher of men, the first person I ever led to the Lord was a Mexican friend of mine on the football team named Lewis. And I was able to disciple him. And then the other guy named Christian that I met on campus, who was Mexican. And God does amazing things in our lives when we follow. You know, we're talking about in our culture, you know, racism's a problem. I've seen Jesus triumph over racism in my life. I've seen him do so many amazing things, and I want to see him do things in your life too. So would you come? When he says, come follow, I encourage you to come. Take that little step. Listen to what he's saying. Just take that next step. And you might have heard many, many things. Maybe you're way down the road following Jesus, but there's something new ahead that he's calling you to. I encourage you to go for it. We're going to talk about being a disciple who makes disciples, and we're going to talk about obeying. It's going to be an exciting time. And I pray that God just stirs us all up to take the next step and that our worlds are changed through it. Let me pray for you, and then we'll be done. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you for these students who've taken this weekend to come and be with friends and meet new friends and spend time with you and your word. Just pray that you bless the counselors, bless the staff. This is an awesome weekend that you anoint. Lord, we hear you calling to us. And maybe there's some of us who've got protests and reasons why. Lord, I just ask that those people feel loved and accepted, that you're patient with them and we're patient with them. Pray that you would open up conversations with all the questions and all the concerns about what it means to follow you or why we should want to do that. So, God, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Russ.
Sure.